Are you ready for one more hot teacher tonight? Yes. She's ready for you. All right. Wanny Harbor, Ohio. I feel like it's the Miss America pageant. And it's Wanny representing Ohio. Wanny Harbor.
Yes.
We have Belinda Kaplan representing Colorado. And this is the best part. There's no swimsuit competition, so it's all good.
Well, hello, everybody. God bless you. Beautiful ladies. My name is Wanny. It's like Juanita, but shorter. Wanny. I'm originally from Chile. I already talked to a few of you ladies that we didn't know each other, and they asked me right away, where are you from? From Chile, and I always say Chile, the country in South America, is not a town in Texas. Chile. So anyways, I'm very thankful to share with you tonight something that has transformed me this last year, and I think the Lord wants to share it with everybody. So I'm going to be sharing about the heart of a woman. And in Christmas 2023, my daughter gave me a book, and it's called Captivating. It's by John and Stacy Eldridge. They have a ministry based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So, Belinda, pay attention to that. They have a lot of resources. They do retreats. They have a lot of resources online. And anyway, so I follow this ministry. It's called Wild at Heart, and it talks about healing the soul of men. But then I didn't know that the wife did the part for women. So when I read that book, it's like, whoa. The first thing in the book said, this is not a book about 10 steps to make you to make you feel like the woman that you have to be. That's not who, we don't want that. We don't want steps to make us feel different, right? It's a book about how to tap into your heart, the heart of God. So it really blessed me. So I knew they did retreats, and I searched online. I wanted to go to Colorado, but they had a retreat in Hocking Hills. A church put it together. So I went there in September last year, and I went all by myself. I drove all the way to Columbus all by myself, and I went there. I didn't know anybody. I was being brave. And I thought, you know what, I think the Lord wants me to come, I'll just come for whatever. And as they start talking about wounds and healing the wounds, and I was like, I don't have any wounds. I don't know, but I don't think, I haven't had any like traumatic experience. And then, yes, when they gave us time to talk to the Lord showed me a few things. And that's kind of what I want to share with you tonight. So, there's a radiance hidden in your heart that the world needs. The world desperately needs you, your beauty, who you are, your true self. So, we're going to learn tonight how to unveil that true self. You know, Dr. Seuss says, today you are you, that is truer than true. So, you can just be your best self. So a woman in ministry is just a woman like you, like they have been saying tonight. Every woman in general, we have desires, we have longings, we have goals. Maybe when we were little girls, we wanted to do something, and then maybe that didn't happen, maybe it happened, maybe it has changed, developed over time. But we all want, we get like this loneliness, like this ache sometimes, like I'm doing this, but I would love to be doing this other thing, or when I'm gonna get to do really what I want to do. So it's like an ache. But you know what? That ache is a gift, because it's really a cry of our hearts to unveil what the Lord has placed in our hearts. And it's good. We all wanna be relevant. We all wanna be the heroine of the story. We all wanna be part of the larger story. And that's what the Lord wants too. The most important part is the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So the most important thing in our lives is our heart. Now, guess what happens? Something happens in the story of humanity that our heart gets attacked kind of right away. But before I get that, I just want to tell you, we will discover tonight who God meant when he meant you. What does it mean to be a woman? What is my calling in life? What does God want from me? And what do you want for yourself? We are all so different. Femininity is just so different. It doesn't mean that we all are going to have, you know, drinking tea with teacups and fancy china. It might be that, but it also, my femininity might be shown in climbing mountains or hiking or doing different things, skydiving. So we just have a kind of a heart for adventure. That's who we are as women. And we want to participate in a big adventure. That's like our core desire. So this is very important to know, that who God made us to be. Genesis 1:27, God the Father is speaking, and he's saying, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God the Father created man and woman after his image. Now, God the Father doesn't have a physical body, but he does have a heart. So I am an image bearer of God. Now, I am an image bearer of the feminine side of God, because God has a masculine side and a feminine side. And we'll learn tonight what is that feminine side of the heart of God. And so whatever God meant for you, whatever it means to bear the image of God, you do as a woman, and you do it in a feminine way. And you know what? So who is God? How is God? God is beautiful. Psalms 27:4, do we have it? Psalms 27:4, David says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. So the Lord is beautiful. So how am I reflecting God? I can reflect God in the beauty that he has placed within me. So the main desires for any woman is that a woman, she longs to be romanced, right? She wants to be pursued, sought after. She wants for someone to come and fight for her. A woman wants to be irreplaceable, and a woman wants to unveil beauty. That's what makes a woman come alive. We want to come alive in showing our beauty. In these desires, we bear the image of God. For example, you can think of favorite movies that you love. Why do you love those movies? Because you connect somehow your inner desires as a little girl or as a grown woman. You connect with those longings. So never dismiss that, because that's God speaking to your heart. And for example, remember the movie The Sound of Music? Have you ever seen that? Okay, so the Baroness, she was beautiful, she was rich, she was classy. So she was, let's just say, way much more than Maria, right, the nun. But you know what? Maria had a rare beauty. She not just put up, but she loved mean children. She loved singing. She loved art, music. And she could stand up to that captain and tell him a few truths. And so she showed her beauty. So we're not talking here about makeup and dresses. We're not talking about that type of beauty, which all helps. But Maria had a rare beauty, and that's what she gave to the world, and that's how she showed God through her, through that beauty about her heart. That's how she came alive. So something is needed in us. The world needs that feminine side of us, that the world needs for a woman to show her beauty. So think of Esther, think of Deborah, think of Wonder Woman, the protector of the world, right? We want to protect the world. We want to influence our world. And by the way, the woman was a co-person with Adam. God gave the commandment of being fruitful and multiply to both of them. So she also bears the commandment to influence the world. So, but then something happened. God made us beautiful and something happened. That, how did we get to the point that sometimes we lose heart, we are beaten, we are crushed, things happen. People have said things to us or done things to us and just affected us so much that we don't want to do anything. So how did we get there? How did we lose heart? Two words. Fallen Eve. That still affects us. Now, think of creation, the days of creation. Every day is in progression. It's a crescendo. God does this, then God does something bigger, something better, something more beautiful. And finally, he made the man, right, Adam. And God said, it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. There's something missing. And when he brought the woman, then creation was completed. So the woman is the pinnacle of creation. We are, you are, the pinnacle of creation. So start seeing yourself as that. And she wasn't an afterthought. She wasn't just a helpmeet. She was a co-person with Adam. And that's how God created us before the fall. So, but also, there's another person that came into the scene here. So the woman is the crown, the jewel of creation. Yeah? And who else wanted to be the crown and the jewel of creation? Mm-hmm. Exactly. That Lucifer, there's a verse in, let me see, where is it? Well, you know the verse. Okay, Ezekiel 28:17 says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Not that beauty was bad, but he wanted to be the crown of creation. So then here Eve comes along, beautiful creature, lovely. And what happens? He tricks her. And the problem when things went down was when Eve believed the lie that to be whole, she had to take matters into her own hands. Somehow she didn't believe that God would be enough or that Adam could be enough. She had to take care of things. And so fallen Eve goes from a range from dominating, controlling, all the way to a woman that is devastated, that is desolate. So we don't want to be any of those and nothing in between. So a controlling woman is the woman that she finishes your phrases. She tells you, she is always telling you what to do. If you don't go her way, she tells everybody about it. That is her way or the highway. And we all, I think, we have seen women like that, right? And not a pretty picture. On the other side, also the desolate woman is the woman that never stands up for herself. She's not worthy of anything. She's not worthy of buying a dress for herself. She never speaks her opinion. She's always serving, and because she can't, she doesn't think that she can do anything else. So that's fallen Eve. So what happens is that we have been hurt, because that's what the adversary, that's what the enemy does. We have been hurt as children or women, and the problem is when we have, those wounds came with messages. For example, you are too short, you are too tall, you are too fat, you are too thin, you talk too much, you don't talk enough. And those things that were said to us or done to us came with messages, right? And then the problem is when we agree with those messages and then we make them part of our personality, who we are. So that's the bad news, but we're gonna pass that because the Lord wants to heal that. So in Genesis 3:10, when God came to the garden and asked Adam, "Where are you?" And he said, "I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." And that's what fallen Eve does. She hides behind something. She hides and she takes matters into her own hands. She doesn't believe that God can do something or provide something. So she has to do it. Have you ever heard or even say yourself, "Oh, well, if I don't do it, then it's not going to get done. It's not going to get done the way I like it to be done," right? When I ask my daughter to do the dishes, man, I suffer. Because she does it her way. And I'm like, please, could you? Remember, I say, remember, 360. You don't watch just what's on the sink. 360. Look around you. Is there anything else? Anyway, so fallen Eve hides in indulging herself with different things, you know, with food, with TV shows, with just different type of things. But they never satisfy because they are a replacement of the actual thing. So, but we have an invitation from God. The invitation from God and the solution is that he wants to turn that fallen Eve into a wonderful, beautiful woman. But in order to receive healing, we must bring him our wounded hearts. And we have to come and say, "Father, what do you have to say?" For example, when I went to that retreat and they gave us time alone and they say, "Ask God." And I said, "Well, Father, I don't think I have anything, but if you want to tell me." And he started showing me some things that it would seem ridiculous to me. For example, he reminded me, well, I'm the youngest of six siblings. I have two sisters, three brothers, and me. So my three brothers, man, they had a field day with me. They could play soccer with my dolls. They could just call me names. And I remember I never liked my name. My name in Spanish actually is Juana. And they would tell me, and it's a very common name in Spanish. They would tell me that was like a maid name, that I was from the countryside. They would tell me that I was the daughter of an unmarried aunt that we had. And I, you know, I mean, things that kids say, you know, not necessarily with a bad heart. But I thought, I was wondering, is it true? Am I really the daughter of that aunt? And at that moment, the Lord said, "No, just think about it. You have the nose of your dad, big nose, and big ears like your dad. You have the eyes of your mom. And he was showing me all these things, how I look so much like my siblings. So in my heart, I was like, thank you. Because I didn't realize there was a wound in my heart. And just my name, I don't even use my actual name. I use, Juani. Anyway, so that's just an idea on how we can ask the Lord, "Father, show me, what is it that is hurting my heart that I need to heal?" How do I know that he wants to heal us? It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, the ministry of Jesus. Healing, our healing, the healing of our hearts is central to the ministry of Jesus. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Just think of these things. I know we always read these verses, and in movies about Jesus, you know, when Jesus is beginning his ministry, he always says this. But just shift and think about you right now, that the Lord is saying these words to you. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourned, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So the Lord is the one who is saying, "Hey, you are wounded." Because we may say, "I'm not, I'm good, I'm not screwed up," right? He is saying, you are wounded. If you want any part of me, better recognize it and get healed. That's his business. To say otherwise is to refuse them. To say otherwise is a wound response, and we don't want that. Let me just paraphrase that real quick, like in modern, a way that we can understand that. God has sent me on a mission. I have some great news for you. God has sent me to restore and release something, and that something is you. I am here to give you back your heart and to set you free. Where you have known only devastation, joy in the places of your deep sorrow. And I will robe your heart in thankful praise in exchange for your resignation of despair. That's what the Lord is saying. That is his mission. So that's the good news. He offers us healing. And that's how we bear the image of God, with a healed heart. And so we know the enemy has assaulted us from the beginning. In history, women have been always assaulted in every way, in physical ways, in sexual ways, in psychological ways, in every way. Do you know why? Because he is so envious of Eve that he has assaulted her beauty. But God says, no more. I came to rescue you because I am your lover. I am your romancer. I pursue you. I want you. I went way out of my way to get you. So he has come for our healing. Zechariah 9, 16 and 17 in the Message says, their God will save the day. He'll rescue them. They'll become like sheep, gentle and soft, or like gemstones in a crown, catching all the colors of the sun. Then how they'll shine, shimmer, and glow. And the NIV says, how attractive and beautiful they will be. I have a little picture to share with you right now. Casey, that picture, I'll think of you, that you are. That's you. The Lord is crowning you, and you are radiant, and he's saying, you are beautiful, and I am so captivated by you. That is our Lord. So the restoration of your heart is central to the mission of Jesus. Now, how do we begin this healing journey? Well, first, we have to give access of our broken heart to the Lord. Ask him first to show us what are the hurts, then to show us how to heal it. For example, I told you my brothers gave me names. And the Lord, when I was on that retreat, also one of the exercises was to ask the Lord for new names for you. And he gave me like 20 new names. My pearl, my dove, my gazelle, different things. So, and you know what? I type them down and I put them in the bathroom mirror. So every day when I'm getting ready, I see those names and I remind myself of it. So give the Lord access to your broken heart and renounce those agreements that you have made with the wounds. Okay, renounce them. Because agreements lock the door from the inside. It's like they lock your heart. But renouncing the agreements unlocks the door to him. And also we have to forgive. First, right, we recognize the wound. And then, I would say, unfortunately, we have to forgive. No, unfortunately. It's part of the process. Yeah, unfortunately, ladies, we have to forgive. If you want to get healed, you have to forgive. You got to let go. And personally, I have been there where I have to say, you know what, this person is just so toxic. I have given this person so many opportunities, and every time she does the same. So I choose not to fellowship with this person anymore, but I forgive her. And I give it to you, God, because I can't deal with that anymore. And that releases us. That when we give it to the Lord, that releases us. So, and that forgiveness is not saying that nothing happened. It's not saying that didn't hurt you. It's just releasing you and saying that, Lord, I give you this. I'm free. So we said that, you know, the enemy has attacked us from the beginning. So ladies, I know that a lot of these attacks come by men, right? So we tend to think sometimes that men are the enemy. But no, men are not. The men are men. Who is the enemy? The devil is the enemy. So we have to recognize that. So remember that Satan fell because of he wanted to be the most beautiful. It's like mirror, mirror, who is the more beautiful in the kingdom? And the one thing that the message of the wound, it somehow it always kind of tries to convince us that somehow we were at fault. Well, this happened because I did it. I had it coming because I, you know, whatever. We blame ourselves. Shame and guilt. No, forget that. That's the work of the enemy. So it changes things to realize that, no, you are glorious. So the enemy tries to assault you, and the whole system is to assault women because he is so afraid of you. You are so wonderful and so glorious. He's afraid of you, a woman in full ministry. So he tries to crush you. But, hey, ladies, as soon as you recognize that hurt and you get over it, you ask the Lord to heal you, you are in full. You are 100%. Imagine. Then he is really afraid of that. So there is one greater than the enemy, right? And he has come to heal your broken heart. Let's go to Isaiah 62. In verses 1 through 5, it says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, until you shimmer, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory, your beauty. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, the crown of creation, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, my delight is in her, and your land Beulah, married. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. And as a young man marries a young woman, he pursues her and romances her, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you because you are lovely." So, ladies, we do bear the image of God in the fact that he is beautiful. So how do we unveil that beauty to the world? Because every woman has that essence of beauty within. Well, it's in our hearts. Beauty is at the very core of our hearts. And we want to be seen as beautiful, but more than that, we want to be felt as beauty. For example, we all have things that we are good at. And for example, I know Tanya, she loves to give flowers because she loves flowers. That's beauty, right? She loves, you see her house, she always has flowers outside and she always gives flowers and flowers here. And for example, I like to bake. So for example, I work at the police department. It's just a pure testosterone walking around with guns and with tasers and harsh personalities and how are you doing? So sometimes I just bring baked goods. I bake a banana bread or some muffins, and they just love it. And they say, "Juan, is that one of your things?" "Oh, thank you. It was delicious." So even if I don't mention the word God, you know, I just bring my beauty. That's how I shine. So that's what I bring to the world. And we share whatever we're good at. Your smile. Oh, this is the greatest gift we can give as women, as people in general, but as women, the gift of your presence. When you are talking to someone, be present. Look at that person. Don't be thinking about the 10 things you gotta do. Just focus. Even if it's a minute, just focus. The gift of your presence. And nowadays, how difficult that is. Everybody's just so distracted. I remember when I first married my husband, we've been married for 22 or 23 years, I don't remember. He told me very early on, "Hey, if you want to make sure that I'm listening to you, you got to make sure that I'm looking at you, because if not, otherwise I'm distracted." So I learned that very early on, and now sometimes I'm talking to him. It's sad to see my daughter now doing that, as she does to her boyfriend. And she goes, "Hey, can you repeat to me what I just said to you?" But anyways, that's just because you want to be present. Okay. So a woman is meant to be our experience in human form of a captivating God who is inviting. In Song of Songs 4:1, it says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. You have stolen my heart," in verse 9. "My sister, my bride, you have stolen my heart." 15, "You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water." That's how the Lord sees us. So beauty is just it's our essence. Beauty speaks. Beauty invites. Beauty nourishes, beauty comforts, beauty inspires, beauty is transcendent, and it draws us to God. Because when God sees whatever it is that you bring beauty, however you bring beauty into the world, that's how you are communicating God and you are drawing people to God through your beauty. So can you think of one thing that you are good at? How you can give that you are good at, your beauty, to the world? Amen. So, so whatever a woman has in her heart that she gives, for example, a woman who is struggling, she gives to her relationships, she gives struggles. A woman who is at peace, she gives peace. And that's what we want. So, what it's like to be with a beautiful woman is when she is free to be herself. And the only way she can be herself is by healing her heart, allowing God to heal her heart. And how do we cultivate beauty? We have to give it time, like a garden, right? You have to give it time. You have to spend time alone, time for yourself, time laughing, time with the Lord, asking the Lord, tell me things. You need times of solitude. You need times of silence. So the deepest questions in the heart of a woman are, am I lovely? Am I worth fighting for? Have I been romanced? Well, the good news is that the Lord Jesus, he has done all those things for you. He thinks you are lovely. He thinks you are worth to be pursued. He fights for you, and he romances you. He's talking to you all the time. I remember once I was... a WOW ambassador. Some of you may know what that is. I was a missionary when I was 19 years old in my country, in Chile. And they sent me like 2,000 miles away. I was like, what? A town in the north, super far away. Anyways, and it was four girls. And it wasn't going all that great, you know, in four girls. And our leaders at the time kind of wanted to get their way with us, and it just wasn't going all that great. And one day, I found myself at the bus station, and I was ready to go back home and to break that commitment. And I remember God, I mean, I know now it was the voice of the Lord, but it wasn't a thought that I was thinking. It was just so clear, and it's changed my life. He said, "Oh, because I was in college before I did that, and I dropped college to go as a WOW, so that was kind of not good, but I did it." So the Lord said, "If you leave now, you will never finish anything in life." And that was like, well, I don't want that, so I'm going to stick it out before the whatever months I have left. And I finished that, and that helped me, because then I finished everything else I've tried in life. So the answer is yes, the Lord is your romancer, and beauty flows from a heart that is alive. So I want to show you real quick a video, and it's not almost the end of my sharing, but this is a workshop session. Have you seen the movie, The Greatest Showman? Yeah. Okay. This is a work session they were recording just to start singing together and see how it was going to go. But the lady that sings, you'll see how she... unveils her beauty, how she gets everybody involved. And if you see the movie, she's the bearded woman. She had beard, and it was a group of, you know, misfits, right? And sometimes we may feel like misfits. So anyways, if you feel like dancing because the movie, the video is very inviting, you can stand up and dance. Let's go.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But
but you see how she invited everybody. She had a gift, her beauty. She just gave up her beauty and she invited everybody into it. So that's what we can do. That's how we reveal God's heart. First, make sure that you see if there's any wounds in your heart that needs to be healed. Then ask the Lord to heal it and then unveil your beauty. And you are a part of the great story as you do it every time. And also, you may have long lost passions or desires or dreams. Start dreaming again. Start writing it down, because if you are not aware of a dream, you never know that it'll come true, right? So you want to do it. So just last thing, Song of Songs 2:10, your beloved says, My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. So that's the message. Awaken and come with me. And I put together a page with resources from Wild at Heart, which is a ministry that has done great things for me. They have videos in their websites. They have studies. They have books. They have, my time is up. They have podcasts. They have prayers in their website, retreats, fires, just. So the page is going to pass around. And that's this was like a marathon trying to communicate this message. It's a huge message. So just, if you want to delve into it, you can look into the resources. Okay, thank you, Tanya.